But now I am honored to be able to present to you somebody that you already know very well, that is, has been and continues in a very real way, I think, to be part of the family here at UND of Fox Valley. And he's going to deliver our message in meditation today. And if you know him at all, you know that he's definitely somebody that everybody has to look up to. But he's not only tall in physical stature, he's tall of heart as well. And we are blessed to have him with us this morning. So please welcome Reverend Tom Wendt.
Good morning, everyone. Really good to be back here. Always good to be back home. Yeah. The title of my talk today is Fathers Then and Now. And yeah, to me, at least, fatherhood has really changed a lot since back in the day. I'm over 70 years old, and I remember what my dad was like back then and kind of what I was like when I was in early fatherhood. And I think things have changed for the good. And I realize now that there are some fathers. Fatherhood is not limited to the male gender as it used to be in our consciousness, that's for sure. However, I have to tell you this. It's Father's Day, so it's a guy's day. All right, this is a guy's day. I'm sorry. And so, for you guys here, I have 9 words that women may use to just help you understand, okay? First word is fine. Fine. This is a word women use to end an argument when they are right and you need to be very quiet. So, just helping you there. Second one is 5 minutes. If she is getting dressed, this means about a half an hour. 5 minutes is only 5 minutes if you've just been given 5 more minutes to watch the game before helping around the house. Nothing. This is the calm before the storm, guys. This means something and you should be on your toes. Arguments that begin with nothing usually end in fine. Refer back to number one. Number four is go ahead. This is a dare, not permission. Don't do it. Okay? Loud sigh. This is actually not a word, but a nonverbal statement often misunderstood by men, so I'm here to help. A loud sigh means she thinks you are not the smartest person in the world and wonders why she's wasting her time standing in here and arguing with you about nothing. Refer back to number 3 for the meaning of nothing. That's okay. That's number 6. This is one of the most dangerous statements a woman can make to a man. That's okay means she wants you to think long and hard before deciding how and when you'll pay for your mistake. Number 7 is thanks. Thanks is a woman thanking you. Do not question it. Just say you're welcome, guys. That's all. Now, if she says thanks a lot, that is pure sarcasm and she's not thanking you at all, so do not say you're welcome. This will bring on a whatever, which is number 8, which I'll tell you about in just a minute. Number 8, whatever. This is a woman's way of saying, get away from me now. Number 9, don't worry about it. I got it. That's another dangerous statement, fellas, meaning this is something a woman has told you to do several times, but it is now she is now doing it herself. This will later result in a man asking what's wrong, and for the woman's response, refer to number 3, nothing. And I have 2 bonus words for you. Bonus word number 10 is pretty soon. That means when I'm good and ready. And bonus word number 11, it's getting close, means please don't ask me again. So that's just some help to get you through this day. You know, there was a time when strength and bravery were the heart, and almost defined a man, back in the day. But alas, what have we become? There was a time back in the day when men didn't eat quiche or frozen peas or watermelon. No, we just ate French fries and apple pie. Those were our staples back then. Back in the day, as a general rule, men wouldn't eat anything that was poached or sauteed or minced or blended. Nope. You'll never find pate or bean curd on a man plate back then or cream spinach in their stomachs. Real men didn't know how to cook back then. They only knew how to thaw. That's what was said back in the day. And you know, that pretty well described my dad. My dad was a real outdoors man when he wasn't working, which was most of the time. The kitchen was my mom's territory. That's how things were kind of back then. My dad didn't dare go there. But I can recall a few times when Mom wasn't around and my dad did the cooking, and whatever the meal, we had the same thing whenever Dad cooked. Scrambled eggs and bacon. Didn't matter if it was breakfast, lunch, or dinner, scrambled eggs and bacon were on the menu. And the eggs were prepared in the same pan as the bacon had been prepared, without the fat being removed. My dad thought it was really a good thing. Isn't it good that the scrambled eggs taste like bacon? My sister and I just looked at each other and realized why my mom did most of the cooking back then. In my family, we were such a socioeconomic class that my dad performed most of the repairs and maintenance around the house and on the car. We only had one of those back in those days, cars, that is. That was pretty common in that day. And it seemed like fathers in the neighborhood were always, always working on something. I recall Mr. Mosier digging an in-ground swimming pool, one shovel at a time, all by himself. Took him all summer. He mixed and poured the concrete, the whole deal. And this was in addition to his regular job. I think Mr. Mosier was a truck driver. Back then, the dads I recall, at least in our very blue-collar neighborhood, they didn't have a lot to do with their kids. They really didn't. Maybe they were working so much and so busy. And perhaps it was kind of a holdover from frontier days, and that the hallmark of a real man back then was based on the work you did and how hard you worked. And it seemed that strength and bravery were the hallmark of a real man back in my day when I was a kid. But I think today, males in our society are going through a transformation. I believe things have changed. I think they've changed for the good in many ways. I see dads far more socially involved with their young children now. Back in the day, you would not have seen diaper changing stations in the men's room. You would never have seen that. We just didn't do it. But I witnessed them being used, and I watched the dad clean one real thoroughly before he would put his child on it. I see dads out there with multiple offspring and keeping their head about them and handling it quite well. It seems to me that in our culture today, that at least some men are going in consciousness from kind of a Rambo existence to a more social and spiritual existence, one of more openness and support. Perhaps a Mr. Rogers influence. Mr. Rogers was one of my heroes. And I believe that's a wonderful masculine thing for men to be open and vulnerable with their children. But maybe it's gone too far, guys, because there's a story. A woman finds a stray cat and brings it to the vet to be neutered. The vet says, "You know, I'm about 90% sure the cat's been fixed." And the woman says, "Well, how can I be 100% sure?" The vet says, "Well, watch him and see if he does, you know, any male things." "Ah," she says, "he already lies on couch all day. If he starts hogging the remote, I'll bring him in." Mm-hmm. A man once said, "I became what I consider a real man on the day my daughter was born." With all the joy that brought, he says, it also brought a great deal of fear. He says, "I was at the hospital. I faced something I really didn't know anything about. I knew it was coming, but it still scared me a great deal. I felt very unprepared," he says. He said, "I had what they call sympathetic labor pains." He said, "I was bent over with pain. I think it was anticipation of what was to come. And the questions inside of me and about me were endless. Was I good enough? Would I be a good father? After all, I've never been a father before." The man admitted, "I was very surprised when she came into this world. She didn't come with an owner's manual. Everything I had an owner's manual. Told me how to use it, what to do. For me personally, I recall that my early days of fatherhood was very confusing and scary. I didn't know what to do. I had no training on being a dad. There was no manual, no instructions. I didn't know what to do. And of course, the majority of the care and feeding of an infant, certainly back then and to some extent, of course, even now, falls on the mother. I felt left out. As a father, I felt alone. I recall this very clearly. See, men like to do something. We need to be needed. We need to contribute. And so often in those early days of fatherhood, there didn't appear to be much for me to do in terms of the baby. And my wife at the time, who is now deceased, had this wonderful relationship with this tiny little package of love and tenderness. And sad to say, my verbal and relationship skills back then were, let's say, kind of underdeveloped. So I didn't truly know what to do or how to ask for what I should be doing. We men, we don't like not knowing what to do. You know, maybe that's why we dig swimming pools by hand. I don't know. I've heard it said that greatness in a man is tapped at unexpected times. Well, those were really unexpected times for me, and as I reflect on it, I sense my greatness as a dad was kind of slow in showing up. I just didn't know what to do. Our friend, Unity Minister Reverend Chris Chenoweth says, becoming a father is easy enough, but being one can be rough. On top of being a provider and a protector and a playmate, he says, it's a father's job to be strong but gentle, decisive but fair, and perhaps a friend. I think it's also a father's responsibility to see that his children use their abilities to the fullest. The ideal father demonstrates this by the rules, his rules by the credit of his life. I remember my daughters rolling their eyes and thinking I was the biggest geek in the world when they're about 15, 16 years old. They were going to learn to drive. So I had them each rotate the tires on the car in the driveway. I had to jack it up, you know, undo the lug nuts and everything. My dad was so out of it in their minds. I mean, the eye rolls were endless that they had to do this. To me, I was teaching them that, hey, this thing needs some attention, you know. I used to teach them how to check the oil in the car. They thought I was so out of it. We still talk about that. We still have fun about that. One daughter says, yeah, I remember when you made me rotate the tires on the car, all four of them. He says. And the other daughter says, yeah, twice, she says. Family units are changing, that's for sure. We have many single parents today, some same-sex parents. I think with single parents, that only means the father is separated from his children and he has to be even more of a real man in my mind. And to be a real man is to stand by those kids, to see those kids as often as you can, no matter what hardship it may cause to you. No matter what sacrifice it may mean, those are your kids. You need to see them and support those kids totally and completely, but most of all through love. To love one's sons and daughters is to carry in one's bones and blood and pride in them, a longing for the growth and development I feel is not quite enough. I think effective fathering means that you tag along on their adventures and you become part of their life. And you know, really, inside that should be no problem, because inside of every man, in my opinion, is a child who's just as eager to come out and play as a 7-year-old is after school to go play out on the driveway. I love playing with my grandkids with remote control cars. I think to his children, a father is a combination of Superman and Santa Claus. As one child put it, my daddy could climb the highest mountain. My daddy could swim the biggest ocean and fly the fastest plane. My daddy could fight the strongest tiger. He could build a castle and he could be a king, even though most of the time he just puts out the garbage. I think it's an unusual child who unreservedly approves of his father, his or her father, certainly when they're younger. As someone said, by the time you realize the old man was right, or at least had something going for him, you probably have kids of your own. But every generation revolts against its fathers and makes friends with its grandfathers. I'm a grandfather now. I know about that side. There's a marvelous book called Parenthood Without Hassles. Well, almost. And there are a child's 10 commandments listed in the book that I'll share with you. Number one, my hands are small, so please don't expect perfection whenever I make a bed or draw a picture or throw a ball. My legs are short, so please slow down so I can keep up with you. Commandment number two, my eyes have not seen the world as yours. Please let me explore safely and don't restrict me unnecessarily. Child 10, commandment number three, chores will always be there. I'm little for a short time. Please take time to explain things to me. Please take time to show me this wonderful world and to do so willingly and with your patience. Number four, my feelings are tender. Please be sensitive to my needs. Don't nag me all day long. You wouldn't want to be nagged for your inquisitiveness, would you? Treat me as you would like to be treated. Number five, I'm a special gift from God. Please treasure me as God intended you to do, holding me accountable for my actions, giving me guidelines to live by, and giving me love in a loving manner. Number six, I need your encouragement to grow. Please go easy on the criticism. Remember, you can criticize the things I do without criticizing me. Number seven, please give me the freedom to make decisions concerning myself. Permit me to fail so I can learn from my mistakes. Then someday, I'll be prepared to make the kinds of decisions that life requires me to make. Number eight, please don't do things over for me. Somehow that makes me feel my efforts didn't quite measure up to your expectations. I know it's hard, but please don't try to compare me with my brother or sister or the neighborhood children. Number nine, please don't be afraid to leave for the weekend together. Kids need vacations from parents, and parents need vacations from kids. I'm figuring a teenager wrote that one. What do you think? Number 10, please take me to Sunday school and church, setting a good example for me to follow. I enjoy learning about God. It will be the foundation of my life. So there you have it, guys. There's the owner's manual we were looking for. There was a time when strength and bravery were the hallmark of a real man, a real father. Today we have found different ways, I feel, to show those characteristics. Today, strength and bravery are shown through patience. Strength and bravery, in my mind, are shown by being vulnerable. Vulnerable enough to take on what used to be called, in denigration, woman's work. You know, cleaning up diarrhea and puke for an entire day and still meeting your other responsibilities. Or giving them a bath or reading them a bedtime story. Actually talking to your kids about sex. all those things that used to be left to the mom, I think are a little more likely to be shared in today's world. Not competing with your kids, or not trying to live your life virtually through them. Strength and bravery comes in letting your kids see you cry. Strength and bravery. In conclusion, I'll say that they say greatness in a man is tapped at unexpected times. I invite all fathers and all those in a father role to reflect on those unexpected times when you were called for greatness and you just did the best you could. You just did the best you could. And what you handed down was what you had to offer, and reflect on your greatness. And now I simply invite you to continue being a great father. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Namaste. Thank you.